God bless you this evening, brother and sister. Good to see everyone who can make it out. It's a little chilly evening, but we're going to make it okay. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we're thankful we can come here tonight again, Lord, to gather together with believers, and it's just always good to see believers, Lord. We go through so many things during the day, during the week, and just to be able to come aside, Lord, and to come into a presence, to come with people who understand each other, Lord. We know what our brothers and sisters are going through. We can empathize with them, Lord. We can pray. We understand the trials and the testing because we all go through it, Lord. And Father, then we can bring them all before you tonight, Lord Jesus, and say, hey, there, Papa God, we need a touch from you. We need strength. We need a fresh word. We need something more, Lord, just to keep us going, another meal, as it were, to give us strength, Lord. So we're so grateful tonight we can come here, Lord, and just depend on you. I ask that you would just take the word and make it real. Open it up, Father. Anoint each one of us, Lord Jesus, for the service. Help us to be strengthened, Lord. Pray for the ones who aren't here tonight that you would strengthen them, Lord. Remember them, Lord. Just, Father, provide for their needs, Lord Jesus. Help. Just the healing that each one would need, Lord, whatever reason they aren't here, Father. Father, go to them now, Lord, and bring them the comfort that they need, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you want to read in your Bible, we're going to go to 2 Peter, the first chapter. We're going to read there, then we're going to turn over to Hebrews and read a little bit there. So we'll start in 2 Peter, chapter 1. And let's just go to verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You may be seated. I just want to comment on a few things here before we turn over to Hebrews. It said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So he has given us everything we need. Brother and sister, there's nothing that we have a need of that he hasn't given to us. And it says, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So the way we obtain what we have need of is through him, is through Christ. And Christ is the word, brother and sister. And so anything we have need of, all we have to do is go to the word. That is the only place we have to go. Be led by the Spirit, brother and sister. It'll take you to the word. It'll take you to the promise. And you know what? Sometimes that word might say, you need to go to the doctor. Let's not get over religious and say, well, I have more faith. I don't go to doctors. And we have faith. I understand all things. And I have faith in all that. And brother and sister, sometimes God just uses a sinner you work with to speak to you. Come on down off of that religious pedestal you've put yourself on and start living with us in reality. Amen? Now, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Tonight, I want to speak on the word of promises. All right? We want to look at some of the promises that he has given us, these exceeding great and precious promises, because brother and sister, these promises, when they come to pass, are going to put you in a place that you want to be if you are a believer. The same point, if you are not a believer, these great promises are going to put you in a place you don't want to be. But you can trust God that he's going to keep his word. These promises are going to come to pass. Look, God had a son and daughter, direct descendant of God, Adam and Eve on earth. You think he didn't love them? They were his pride and joy. And they are going to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He's going to have a whole family of people. But they fell into sin. And guess what God did to his precious son and daughter? He cursed them and they died. Well, he didn't love them very much. He loved them so much that he cursed them and they died. You say, how is that love? Because it wasn't, he wasn't there saying, boy, I'm going to get you. And this is why so many people, when they think about God, they get this idea that, boy, if you don't do right, he's going to nail you. Look what he did to Adam and Eve. He's going to get you. That ain't why he was trying to get the point across. The point he wanted to get across was, I will keep my word no matter what. You can trust someone who will keep their word to that degree. Think about it. Because the same word that says, if you sin, you'll die, the same word that says, if you don't sin, I promise you, you're going to live. Then you get born again, and that's a guarantee, because that's a seal. Your soul is sealed to the day of your redemption. There is nothing that can ever change that word. What a comfort. So all the troubles and trials and everything we'll go through, you can rest your comfort on the fact that he will keep his promise. He ain't moved by his feelings. Some of us, we keep a promise till it gets a little too hard on our feelings, and then we're ready to move. We keep our word until all of a sudden things get a little bit too hot. All of a sudden, I gotta kind of squeeze a little here or do a little something there. I'm gonna get by with something over there because it gets a little bit too much for us. God ain't that way. You can trust him. When he says something, he's gonna bring it to pass, the good and the bad. And for us who are the believers, it's exceedingly great and precious promises. When you get tore up, sometime you just need to get back to the basics. Just go back to the basics, get your priorities back in straight, get perspective back in place, and think, yeah, I'm going through a hard time, but one day I have a great exceeding promise that says I still get eternal life. All right, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Very familiar. The heroes. Isn't it great to read these heroes? Let me tell you something, brother and sister. Don't you ever doubt for a second that you belong with this list of heroes. You say, oh, these are the great people. These people are exactly like you. They simply were believers. There's no difference. Oh, these are the great faith heroes of the Bible. Brother and sister, who do you think you are? You are the great heroes of the Bible. I don't feel like it. You think they felt like it when they were being sawed in half? You think they felt like it when they're in prison? You think they felt like it when they're destitute? Let's read about these people. See how they felt. Let's go to verse 11:32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and then Samuel and all the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Wait a minute. Look what they're going through. Why would you have to stop the mouth of lions if the lions weren't ready to eat you up? Why would you have, here, what does this say? Escape the edge of the sword. You don't have to escape the edge of the sword if someone's not trying to kill you with it. These people were not kicked back and say, I'm a great hero of the faith. Look at me go. Out of weakness were made strong. They waxed violent, valiant. In fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Look at the battles these folks are going through. They weren't just sit back and say, hey, I'm one of the heroes of the Bible. Watch me just kick the devil around. They were going through trials. They had armies coming against them. Women received their dead raised to life again. Uh-oh. Someone had to die. Someone had to die first before they can be raised back to life. These aren't fun times, folks. Well, I'm not talking about what they're going through. It was not fun. They weren't enjoying it. They weren't sitting there, boy, we are good Christians. Look at us go. No, brothers and sisters, they were fighting the same fight you and I fight. Surely we can identify with this. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Brother and sister, they sat there and they were put over fire, slow burning fire, and they were literally being cooked alive. And they said, all you have to do is renounce what you believe, we'll take you off of there. It would have been so simple. Horrible tortures, pulling them apart, literally pulling them apart and say, just say you don't love Jesus, just renounce your religion and we will stop this torture. And they sat there and took it. You say, I don't know if I could do that. Under that anointing, you could. How do you know? Because you're just the same as they are. They were believers and you're a believer. Don't sit there and wonder, I don't know if I could do that. Of course you could. You're a believer. That's what believers do. They're anointed for that, brother and sister. They didn't do that in their own strength. If you try that in your own strength, you can't do it. Neither can I. There's no way. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, were slain with the sword. Oh, some of them didn't get delivered from the sword. Some of them paid with their price. Some of them burned to death. Some of them were beheaded. Some of them were attacked by lions. A lot of them died, brothers and sisters. That's your brothers and sisters. And you're going to stand shoulder to shoulder beside them one day and say, you know what? My trials were just as hard as yours. Different kind of trial. Wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. There are some of the trials you can talk about. Afflicted, tormented. See, that's where our trials, through the deception, through the powers that have been loosed on us this day, our trials are way worse than theirs. The tormenting that goes on in your mind, brother and sister, is the hardest battle ever fought. It is worse, way worse than they had in those days. Because those demons have been turned loose against the bride. The things you go through, brother and sister, are in no way inferior to the trials other ages have faced. Of whom the world was not worthy. My, what a statement. Sometimes you can just sit there and say, look what these people go through. And then he said, the world wasn't even worthy of them. And we look at that and say, what a great bunch of people. Look, if I'm puffing up your ego tonight, please understand that you are not getting the point. This says anything about your ego. Yes, I'm one of these heroes of the faith. Well, no, you're not. You might be, but you're not showing it right now. Because if this makes you proud or puffed up or arrogant or something, you really need to get yourself down to the altar and get something right. Because this should not puff anyone up. This is like, I don't want to go through these things, but you know what? If that's what God calls me for, then I'm going to do it because I'm a believer. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. After all that, it says they didn't receive the promise. Does that mean they didn't get the promise of eternal life? No, these were brides just like you. What did they not receive? God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What is that talking about? It's talking about that headstone coming down on the bride, brother and sister. They're all made up the bride. They're all made it up. But it's got to come to such a point where the headstone can come down and sit on top of the bride and be united with her. And then that makes a perfect pyramid. That makes the bride of Christ united with the head. And that's the perfection. That's the great promise that they didn't get to, all simply because it was for a later age. That's the only reason they didn't get it. Not because they weren't good enough. Not because they didn't have enough faith. It's because God had ordained it for a greater thing, for the last stage, which is where you and I come into place. Think about it. They're all waiting, what? For that great uniting of Christ and the bride to come together and be one. That's the greatest promise. That's what he's looking for. That's what Jesus Christ wanted. He's always wanted a bride that he could marry, and that's what it is. To be reunited. That capstone coming out, and let me, I think I mentioned this Sunday, but when that capstone actually finally comes down and sits onto the top of that pyramid, onto the body of Christ, it's united, it's sealed there, and you can no longer tell where one started and the other began. You can't. There's no difference. It's impossible to tell. You know, we call them pyramids, right? What you see right now over in Egypt, it does not look very much at all like the original pyramid. You know what pyramid means? It means fire mountain. You know, Brother Bram talked how you could not run a razor blade between those rocks. Well, look over there now. You could put a whole crowbar between those rocks. See, what it used to be is when they made that pyramid, it had a coating, a rock coating that was so shiny that when the sun shined on it, it looked like a mountain of fire out in the middle of the desert. See, that's what it used to look like. That's the original. What happened, they had it that way to seal it so robbers couldn't get in and steal all the treasures out of some of those things. But they use fire and chemicals and stuff and worked that until they got all that out, and that's all been gone for years, and now all you see what you have left. Right? That's not the original at all. And when that was like that, you could not run a razor blade between those rocks to try and get those apart. It was so fitted so perfectly. And that's the same thing with you and Christ. You cannot run a razor blade between you and Christ to get you apart because you've been united. That's a good place to be. But I don't care how close you are to that. If you're not in that body, you're not in that body. You might look like it so close, and the average person sitting looking at you say, my goodness, that's a brother right there. If there's anyone I know is born again, it's that brother. I looked at people that way, and the next thing I know, they're abusing their wives. They're leaving the message. There's been plenty of those around, brother and sister. Like I said before, this paper is very thin, but if you're on this side of the paper, you are not on that side of the paper. You cannot be on both sides of the paper at the same time. And if you are not born again, you're not born again, no matter how close you look like you are. Brother and sister, this is a personal thing. You can't sit there and say, well, Brother Jerry said I'm born again or whatever. You got to know for yourself that between you and God, this is where your relationship with Christ comes into play. And if you care enough, get there. If you just want to be religious, just quit planning on going in the rapture. That's all I got to say. It's not all I got to say, but I do have that to say too. All right, let's look at some of these promises. We're going to start right back. We're going on about this whole threefold purpose. The first purpose, to express himself completely God in Christ. Second, to have the preeminences by this in his church, which is his body, the bride, till he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. Brothers and sisters, look at the amazing promises today. The preeminence, the headship, the leadership, that we are so surrendered to him that we become one with him. And then the thirdly, to restore the kingdom to his right position that fell by sin, by the first Adam, back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, fellowshiped with them. You talk about great, exceeding great and precious promises. There you are. And brother and sister, we are the people who get to experience this. When we get to that point, the whole body is part of that, but we get to be living or to experience what he has right here. His great promises all the way, his great purpose all the way from the beginning before time was to get back to that place. And you and I have been ordained. We've been predestinated. This is our inheritance. We are the ones to experience the very fulfillment of that. No wonder Satan hates you. No wonder you're afflicted. No wonder you're tormented. No wonder you go through the things you go through. No wonder you spend half the time wondering if you're even born again. No wonder you go through all these trials and suffering and all that we do. No wonder, because he knows that you are the fulfillment of that. Oh, how he hates you. Oh, how he wants to destroy you. I hope you recognize that the only reason that you're still alive is by the grace of God. Because if it was up to Satan, he'd kill every one of us tonight before we could get home. Anything to stop God's word being fulfilled. Yes, sir. And God says, go ahead. God let you go certain ways. Why? Because it's molding your character. but you're only going so far. I'll let you trouble him. I'll let you torment him. That's your job. And through that tormenting, I'm going to prove to you once and for all that my kids love me more than they love you. Just never forget, never get this out, never lose focus. This is all about a love affair, brother and sister. It's love. It's not keeping rules. Let's look at some of these promises. Let's see what we have here. My. He said, no, you see the secret? To restore fallen Eve as she was a free figure of the church. Now notice, as God opened up the side of Adam and took out Eve by his own flesh and blood, divided his spirit from masculine and feminine to feminine and put it in Eve, took the rib from under his side, made Eve out of it. So God did the same thing, taking out of the side of Christ, the blood and the water. Christ is the Word, taking the Word and making up his church, Eve, back to himself again, redeemed by the blood that comes from his body. You see it? God's great mystery being unfolded has been hid since the foundation of the world, but prefigured it all the way down. So what he's doing, he said, back in the very beginning, he had Adam there, but then from Adam, he took Eve out, and he put it separated. He put the masculine spirit in Adam, and he put the feminine spirit in Eve. It was a type to show that down at the very end, he's going to go back and unite them back together again, because even though they're one flesh, they're gonna, in the natural, in the spiritual, they're going to become one again at the very end, which is what's happening now. Do you get that? I feel like I was kind of stumbling around. Well, let me slow down. Look, he separated them, right, to show that one had playing a role. The man played a role. The woman played a role. So that when Christ came along, Christ was the head. The bride was the feminine, the submissive one, the female part of it. But, you know, so he took Eve out of Adam's side. He took Christ, the bride out of Christ's side to show there was still one. But here's the problem. I'm going to get in trouble here, all right? When the bride, so-called, refuses the headship of the Word, she is no longer subject to the Word. She puts herself to headship. She takes on a masculine spirit. That explains why we see the mess we see around us. People can't decide if they're a woman or a man. They can't decide which bathroom to go into. They can't decide if they are real, if they want to have sex with what, you know, the same gender, whatever. They have like 90 some different kind of genders. They can't figure out why, because the bride, the so-called bride, is not subject to the Word, and that allows that spirit to get in there and afflict the people. It's a perversion from the pulpit is where it starts. It's no wonder we have the kids running around doing the things. You got four or five year old kids, and all they've ever known is, I'm not a boy. Little boys, I'm really a girl. And they're the ones who get to suffer for it. They're the ones who are afflicted. They're not making it up. People want to get down on you know, someone who's homosexual. Well, let me tell you, a lot of that is choice. A lot of it, they're just being cool, whatever. But a lot of those people, that's who they really are right now. They've been that way ever since they can remember. How are you going to condemn them? You say, is it right? Of course it's not right. But look how it comes, brother and sister, because the church has let down the bars, and anytime you step out from behind the Word, you're subject to Satan's attack. And he takes that feminine spirit and puts on a little boy, and here's this guy, he's a good Baptist or good Methodist, whatever, and he's raising his kids right, he's trying to do right, and the next thing you know, his 8-year-old little boy says, Daddy, I'm really a girl. That tears him up. Oh, did you think that doesn't happen around the message? You know better than that. Of course it does. Surely this church has been through enough that we recognize we're not some kind of immune people, that nothing can harm us or nothing can get to us. Brother, sister, that spirit is trying very hard to get on your kids. Brothers, you're the head of the house. You make sure you're the head of the house. You stand as a priest and you keep that thing away. It's a spirit. to spirit. Those little boys and girls, they can't help it. They can't help it. You say, well, they have an excuse. No, they don't. Not once they reach an age of accountability, because it's just like any other spirit. You can be delivered from it. You sure can. And that's why Satan is turning everyone so politically correct and getting them everyone's so inclusive. You know, we accept this. Isn't it funny? The people who say we're so inclusive, if they heard me preach right now, would try to get me fired. If they are so inclusive, why don't they include my beliefs? Because they only are inclusive for people that agree with them. That's not being inclusive, you hypocrites. And the only way you can live with that and not recognize that is because your mind is warped. There's no way you can sit there and say, well, I include everybody except for those who disagree with me. I'm inclusive. Oh, my goodness. I'm not making this up. Recently, there's a sportscaster. He used to play Major League Baseball. And he made a comment on, he tweeted something and said, you know, he disagreed with some of this stuff about the transgender stuff, whatever. And he got fired. And the company that fired him said, we are an inclusive company. We're getting rid of him because he doesn't agree with what we stand for. And they call themselves inclusive. How can they not see their own hypocrisy? That's the world we live in, folks. You want to stick around? My. Satan, what's he doing? He's got his natural, his attempt to unite man and woman, that masculine and feminine spirit again. This is his attempt to do it through people, through his false bride. Say, see, I can do this too, God. But God's doing it in his bride when the masculine and feminine are coming back together in one body. Now, brother and sister, don't you think, brother, I'm part masculine. I'm that feminine spirit. I'm part of the bride. I can act like a woman. Not if you're born again, you can't. And sister, you say, well, that headship is coming in me. I can start telling my husband what to do. You know, look, I don't even need to preach this here. I don't know why I'm saying this, because we don't have a problem here, do we? Don't get all mixed up and start getting so spiritual. I'm masculine and feminine. I can do what I want. You need to make sure you still stay in your proper place in the Word. And recognize this, that headship is coming in the bride, and we are one with the headship, brother and sister. That's why we are going to rule and reign on the earth, because we have that headship in us. But you know what we do? With that headship in us correctly, we stay subject to the Word, just like Jesus was subject to the Word. You get, I'm part of the headship now. I can do what I want. Just go get born again. Don't give in to that silly spirit. Let me move along. Down through the ages, he had been unfolding this mystery. What happened? He opened Adam's side, took part of his flesh, which was Adam, to make Eve. The bride has to be the Word, for he is the Word. The bride has to be the Word, for he is the Word. And when you're united with him, you become the Word, brother and sister. She cannot stand on creeds. What's that? Brother Branham said this, and Brother Branham said that, and I believe this, and someone brings you a quote. Well, Brother Branham said this, you believe that quote? Well, of course I believe the quote, but you're not the way you're trying to explain it to me, because you don't understand it yourself. Otherwise, you wouldn't be trying to impress me with what you know. Does that make sense? Stop trying to impress people with what you know, folks. You guys don't do it. She cannot stand on denomination. She cannot stand on good behavior. Do you hear what he said? You can't stand on good behavior. Well, then quit trying to judge everyone else's good behavior. She has to stand alone on the Word, because she's part of it. She was taken from Christ. That means she returns to Christ. To be sure, the whole rapture. Now, Luther was a part. Wesley was a part. The prophets was a part. Just in the revelation, they was making up the body. The feet, the toes, the arms, and so forth, until the head that makes the entire rapture. It's the body of the Word, which is Christ. Outside of that, you're lost. I don't care how good you are
or what your relationship is, or what your fellowship is, or what your organization is. You're lost outside of that word being in you. There you go. That's what you had to do. That's your vindication. When you see the word in you, in this age, that's the only thing that's going to make it. You don't get by with something else you could get in other ages. That soul that sinneth will die. And in this age, there's no more excuse. That's why he said, there's no more mercy after you come out the mercy seat. Why? Because he came out the mercy seat and gave us the perfect word. And there's no excuse anymore to have something added to or taken away from that perfect word. And if you're out there, there is no mercy for that. It's unbelief. The bride is perfect. She's without spot or wrinkle. Where? In her soul, where the perfect word is living. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Because people want to say, well, if you weren't born again by a certain time or whatever, see how you take the word and make your own, put your own personal man-made idea to it and screw up people's lives? My word. Now I'm going to read some more here, some of these precious promises. And this, I want you to think about something. When I read this, I want you to put yourself personally into this, what I'm going to read. Make it for yourself. Brother Branham said to do that, by the way. This ain't my idea. Let me show you what I mean. He said, notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first shown to him by the Father. This harmony is not to exist between the groom and his bride. We say, Jesus never did anything, said the Father showed him. He said, that same harmony exists between him and his bride, between Christ and his bride. You don't do something until the Father tells you. Oh, I make mistakes. See, there you go. Come on. You know that's what I'm talking about. Of course you make mistakes. You repent and you keep going. But tell me when you do something without first praying about it. Not very often, right? You know what you're supposed to be doing. Now you don't have to say, God, should I get up in the morning? See, of course you get up in the morning. But you're drawing more and more closer to God. You're becoming more like him the more you see of him in you. The more you get your own self shaved away. This harmony is not to exist between the groom and his bride. He shows her his word of life. She receives it. Now just take that and instead of saying, yeah, I see the bride. Yeah, the bride sees it. Make it personal. Until we make this personal, it's not going to happen. This is something that you don't have to pray about. God, is this for me? Is this for me? Yes, it's for you. If you find out you're part of the bride, then this is for you. You don't have to pray about it. Just start claiming it. This is where you claim it as a promise for yourself. He shows her his word of life. He shows Brother Paul his word of life. Brother Paul receives it. Brother Paul never doubts it. Can you put yourself in there and believe that it's talking about you? Brother Jimmy never doubts it. I don't know. Sister Susie never doubts it. Do you believe that? Therefore, nothing can harm Sister Susie, not even death. Therefore, nothing can harm Brother David, not even death. All the devils, all the torments, all the temptation, nothing can harm Brother David, not even death. Why? Because he never doubts it. He receives it. Let's not put that off in the future. Let's not think of all these great saints. This is Brother Jerry. This is you. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret of this. The word is in the bride as it was in Mary. How is the word in Mary? When the angel spoke it to her, she said, be it unto me according to thy word. And brothers and sisters, the same with you. You sit there and you hear this word and you said, be that unto me according to the word. Because that is the inheritance for the bride. That is the promises for the bride today. This oneness with God is not something that will be nice to get there. Well, I hope there. No, it's a requirement. It's a requirement for the bride, and God is going to provide it if you will just accept that it's for you. It really is that simple. It is. Now, getting there isn't that simple. But you allow that word to burst into life in your soul. You accept it down through all that unbelief that's in your mind right now saying, yeah, I know, Brother Phil, but I know, but. Get all the buts out of there, and it comes down in a flash of that seed. It brings it to life, and then you go through your trial. Because are you going to change your mind? Just recognize this. You might change your mind, but once it's birthed into your soul, it's too late. Your mind will change back again, no matter what it takes to get you to start believing it again. Those trials in your mind are not going to affect that in your soul once it's been brought to life. It might slow it down. If you sit there and decide to live in this gloomy, whatever your unbelief or something, but once that word clears that junk out of you again, you're going to start see it growing. Yes, it is. That's why you need to get to church, folks. It's the best place to get that unbelief cleared out of your mind is in church. And brother and sister, those people who don't believe in going to church, and not just to hear a tape, come on, those people who don't sit under the fivefold ministry, that stuff is not going to get cleared out of their mind. And whatever is in that soul will die. It will. They're not going to be born again. Whatever was there. Don't get me wrong. Oh, if you're born again, that's got to die. No, of course not. But they're not going to be born again except they sit under the right ministry. And then if it does come to life, it's going to fight their way till they get under it again if they get talked out of it. The bride has the mind of Christ. Brother Gene has the mind of Christ. Did you know that, Brother Gene? Did you know that? Answer me, sir. All right. The Brother Gene has the mind of Christ, for he knows what he was done with the word. Did you know that, Brother Gene? Did you know you know what God wants done with the word? Sometimes it's kind of hard to just go and say, yes, I do. Really? You know what God wants done with it? Of course you do. That's why you're sitting here. He wants the word preached to you to change you, to get you ready for a rapture. That's why he wants done with the word. That's why you're sitting here. Don't make it mysterious. It becomes simple. Brother Cody performs the command of the word in his name, for he has thus saith the Lord. Brother Cody, did you know you have thus saith the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. It's time we start believing what the word says about us. This isn't so, as a whole, yeah, as a whole we do, but brother and sister, identify yourself in the word. Identify yourself. Say, this is me he's talking about. I have thus saith the Lord. Satan comes up and says, well, why don't you say thus saith the Lord and do some miracles then if you have thus saith the Lord. Because you say, shut up, you old stupid person, because I am subject to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and I'm only going to use this when he tells me to. I ain't here to put on a show for you. Oh, you think you're really something, don't you, Brother Phil? I do. I think I'm a child of God. And that humbles me. Look at what he has for us. Look at the promises. My. Brother Will performs the command of the word in his name, for he has thus saith the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass. Like a seed that is planted in water, it comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. Why? Because we're subject to the leadership of the word. We only do what the word says. We're not out here trying to convince somebody. We're not out here trying to prove something. We're not out here trying to show that what a great person we are. We see this. Oh, I got to do this. I have thus saith the Lord. I know the secrets. I receive the word. I got to go and show everybody what a believer I am. No, you don't. Just stop. Those in the bride do only his will. Sister Susie, did you know that you would only do God's will?
Well, Brother Phil, I can tell you sometimes when I don't only do his will.
Of course you can. That's part of the battle. Do you believe what your flesh says, or do you believe what God said about you? Do you believe that that blood is enough? Do you believe the blood was a perfect bleach? Glory to God. Do you believe that you are currently sinless and before God? Then do you do only his will? That's all he sees. Satan comes up to you and says, boy, you sure blew it yesterday. You ran your mouth. And you say, God don't know about it, so shut up. So what do you mean he don't know about it? I repented. You heard me. God can't remember that. Go ask God about that. Tell him to go remind God about it. Hey, God, look what Phil did. He said, shut up. I don't see nothing. Phil didn't do that. Well, if I believe that, boy, I go out and just live like the devil. Well, go live like the devil because you don't believe it. Because if you really believed it, you'd get born again and get under that blood. Yes, you would. Oh, listen to this. Those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. Oh, my. Hallelujah. I hope you all. This makes me so happy. No one can make them do otherwise. Look at the mess that some of us have sat in the past. Some of the false preaching. Some of the false religion. Some of the false message believing and all that stuff we see. And yet he says no one can make them do that. Why? Because you come under the true word, the true ministry, and it's preached it into such a place where you're not going to be deceived anymore. Someone can bring some other doctrine or some other spirit or something. You're going to say, no, that doesn't line up with what I know, who I know Christ is. Why? Because the preaching of the word has opened your eyes. It's produced Christ. You can't be deceived anymore. No one can make you do otherwise. But I still make mistakes. See, I don't know why that keeps popping up in my mind. Someone keeps thinking that. Would you please set that to rest once and for all? Yes, you make mistakes. And if you live 50 more years, you are going to make a mistake every day for the 50 more years. And then you're still going to rapture. No one can make them do otherwise. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Now let's go ahead and take a carnal interpretation of that. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. So you cannot say anything unless you have thus saith the Lord. We'd be a quiet bunch of people, won't we? Ain't what he's talking about. It's not what he's talking about. It's talking about when you want to use the word, when you are working in the word, or when you want to testify, or when you're talking about the word, or when you're preaching, or when you're believing it, you have thus saith the Lord. If you don't have that, then you don't say what your own opinion is. You don't go and try to impress someone with what you know. That's not thus saith, or that's not what the word was sent for. I said, that's not what the word was sent for. It wasn't to show people how much you know. It wasn't going trying to impress someone. Well, I know this. Look how much I know. That's not what the word was sent for. So if that's what you're doing, please stop. I'm going to tell the people at work how much I know about it. Just stop. That's not what it was sent for. If God puts on your heart to say something, then you have thus saith the Lord, then you say it. Otherwise, quit being religious. They have thus saith the Lord, they keep still. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works. Brother Todd knows it's God in him doing the works. Why? Because he knows he can't do it. But it's still happening. Oh my. It's still happening. And I know I can't do it. I overcome this. I'm overcome this. I know I can't overcome that. But it's still happening. My. Fulfilling his own word. Try to fulfill God's word. Go and fulfill God's word. Go ahead. Everybody, just jump up and fulfill God's word right now. You can't do it. Israel proved that back in the Old Testament. They couldn't keep the word. We've had brides and brides and brides and brides all down through trying to fulfill God's word. We have messed up believers trying to fulfill God's word. We're going to produce a bride. We're going to produce a bride. We're going to do it this way. We're going to do it by believing this doctrine. We're going to do it with this anointing. We're going to do it by praising God enough. We're going to do it by living good enough. We're going to do it by climbing up in a hole somewhere. We're going to do it some way, and nobody can do it. It's impossible. And what do you get out of it? You find yourself out on a limb, off the main stark, off wondering what I'm doing out here. How'd I get out here? Well, the message must be wrong. And they walk away by the droves. Because if it wasn't the way I thought, it must be wrong. If it's not the way you thought, you were wrong. It wasn't wrong. Your idea was wrong. Why don't you just humble yourself, get underneath a pastor who will preach you to a rapture? Unless you don't care. He did not complete all his work while in his earthly ministry, so now he works in and through Brother Gene. He works in and through Brother Cody. It's just that simple. She knows that. You know that. How do you know that? Because the work, they know that has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his word. You know that because it's happening to you. She knows that. For it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do. But he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. There's a work for this specific time. What is it? It's to fulfill the final threefold purpose that came about, that was opened to us through the opening of the seventh seal. And we know what it is. And we sit here and we allow this word to change us, to fulfill his word, identifying ourselves in this word, taking it personal, so that all the rest of the body of Christ can be perfected through what you fulfill in this age. They're all waiting for us, brother and sister. We want to see them come back. We want to see the bride. We want to see our loved ones come back and appear. Brother, sister, we don't want it half as bad as they do because they see the reality of what it is. They say, oh, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Let's get right. Let's get this together. Let's start believing. Let's acknowledge this. Let's personalize this. Let's accept that it's us. Let's get rid of this unbelief. They're watching. They said, come on, believe it. That thing that's bothering you, just recognize that's just part of the battle. That thing that's tearing you up, just recognize it's just something that you're going to overcome. Just keep going on. Look, brother, sister, these promises I'm talking about, there is not a final destination in this life for these. You're never going to get to a point where you say, okay, Brother Phil, I'm there. I'm rapture ready. It's time to go. I'm loving God, all that the love that's available. I'm just as holy as I can get. I'm just as good as I can go. I'm ready to go. If you ever get that place and think you're there, you're not. That's like, it's a relationship like going, you go to your wife and say, honey, I love you as much as it's possible to love you. Our relationship can't go any deeper than this. We're finally there. Well, she's going to look at you and say, you pompous, arrogant little brat. You're not there. It's not a place. It's not the final destination is on beyond this life, brother and sister. So just keep pressing on. Well, I'm rapture ready. I'll tell you when you know you're rapture ready. When you see those saints walking around, when you see your brother, your son, or your father, or someone who went before you, and you see him walking around, you say, okay, I know I'm ready to go. Until that time is, don't sit around and think, I think I'm really ready to go, Brother Phil. I see all the revelation I need. I have it all together. You're going to be sitting here looking around, wonder where everyone else went.
If we could only keep this in our mind, that according to the word of God, in this last day, he's going to have a church, going to have a people. And these things that he promised, he's going to do them. He said he would, and we're living in that time, we're there. He said if we could just keep that in our mind. He is doing this. This is his work. The more we recognize that you are not here by your own accord. You're not here because you were smart enough or religious enough or spiritual enough. You are here because God has brought you here. Now, you did have a part to play. You know what you did? He said, will you marry me? You said, yes, I will. Will you accept this? Do you want to be born again? Do you want to be part of my body? You said, yes, I do. He said, now I'm going to make you prove it. Not to him. You can prove it to yourself. That's why you go through the trials and a lot of time, brothers and sisters. It's so that you recognize, you know what? It really is. There's nothing else that I want more than this. I really do love God more than I love this old world. I really do choose him over anything Satan can offer me. I really do want him more than anything else. He's proven it to you. So when Satan comes to you and says, you're not real, you really don't want to, and so you're not really born again. He said, look at the desire of my heart, old boy. The reason I'm still here is because the desire of my heart is that I'd rather have Christ than anything the world can offer me. I want him more than anything. What is that? That's called love. Oh, you don't really feel it. Well, that's not part of it. You mean you don't feel love of God? Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. It has nothing to do with it, whether I love him or not. You know what really like real determiner of love is? When you do something for someone and you don't feel like doing it for them, but you do it because it's what they need. I'm hesitating because I'm going to a place that I don't know anything about. At least I do. All right. Let me give you an example. Married couple, right? Husband comes home from work. He's dead tired, working all day. Wife is working too, right? I really don't feel like sitting down and being comforting, but you know what you do, sister? You walk up to him and say, give him a hug and whatever it is, you know, to make him feel loved. I'm really tired. I don't really feel like doing it right now, but I love him, and I'm going to give him what he needs. Vice versa. Did you feel it? Nope. Didn't feel like doing it? You did it anyways. Why? That's called love. You die to yourself. You do things you don't feel like. That's why this whole world, I fell in love and then I fell out of love. And I fell in love and I fell out of love. I married this and I married that and I married that and I married that. Because I kept falling in and out of love. You're clueless what love is. Clueless. Very good. Let me move on. Give me a church that's so completely anointed with God till their every action and move is thus saith the Lord, right in that Shekinah glory. I'll show you a Messiah, anointed one of God, standing upon the earth. Can you identify yourself with that? Brother Neil, do you see yourself? I'm an anointed Messiah standing upon the earth. Anointed Messiah standing on the earth. One, when every action, every move is thus saith the Lord. You say, well, maybe I'll get there, maybe I won't. Seriously? You will get there if you're bride. You will get there. I'm going to go another step further. You're already there. Now we're going to see more of it. But brother and sister, we are there. Let me read one more here. Well, I say one more. They that are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Then when the human element goes out and the Spirit of God fills that vacancy where you empty yourself, then will be when the church in his power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus will walk in his step, in his power, in his thoughts, in his being, in his moving. You see what I mean? We get rid of ourselves. How do I get rid of myself? Doing what you're doing right now.
It really is. You do what you're doing. You know, I used to try so hard to get rid of myself. I used to try so hard to die to myself. Have you ever tried to die yourself, Brother Paul? How'd that work? I'm just going to die to myself today. Yep, about 45 minutes you are. Next thing you know, you're doing the same old stuff and wondering why you have this bad attitude. If you're laughing, you've tried it. Yes, sir. How do you do it? It's this, oh my. Simply believe the word. What the word says about you is the way you die to yourself. It is. Believe the word. And when that trial comes up, you believe what the word says about you, and you let that thing go, and you die to yourself. You let that old nature go. You let your own thoughts go. You let your attitude go, and you die to yourself by believing the word. You know what the problem is so many times? It's because we, ourself is there, and we are protecting ourselves. But if I believe God is my comfort, God is my protection, and God has a greater thing for me than my old flesh, then I die to myself by believing the word. That's how you do it. You can't go out and slaughter yourself. He said, then your thoughts will become words, and words will become material. That's when the church is in its power. Do you hear what he said? Your thoughts will become words, and words will become material. What is he talking about? When your thoughts are on Christ, you have the mind of Christ, and something comes up and you need something, and your thought is, you know what? That person needs healing. And then you speak it. Pray for you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be healed. And that word becomes material, and that person is healed. That's what he's talking about. You are led by the Spirit. Well, Brother Phil, when that happens, I'm going to go empty out the hospitals. You're missing the point. He said, they that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. You do that when you're led by the Spirit of God. That's what he means. When you have thus saith the Lord, and you keep still. You don't go out and try to impress someone. You don't go pray for someone for deliverance just because you love them. You don't say, oh, this is my kid. They're dying. I'm going to pray for them. Speak thus saith the Lord. Bring them up. No, you're not. You are going to be so, and you are, so subject to the word that you'll pray for that person, but you won't speak, thus saith the Lord, until God gives it to you, even if it means your kid dies. How do you know? Because that's the character Jesus Christ had, brother and sister. You're not going around, I know I'm healed, I know I'm healed. God reveals it to you, you're healed, then you confess it, and you know you're healed. Now, you can claim it, of course, but don't go around and say, I know I'm healed, and I'm getting in trouble here. Don't go around on just some impulse or some desire or someone and say, well, I know this is going to happen, and then it doesn't happen, and everyone looks at you and say, I thought you said that something was going to happen. You wait until it's revealed to you, brother and sister, then you know what you're talking about. Now, if you claim your healing, say, I'm claiming my healing. But when it's revealed to you, it's no longer you just claiming your healing. It says, God has healed me. Is that all right? I used to stumble with that. I said, people say I'm healed. They don't get healed. How am I supposed to know what to believe? Because they didn't know what faith was. People want to give you this comfort. Brother Jay spoke about this with some of the kids who aren't serving guys. He went, oh, God's going to work it out. He said, well, I don't know if he is or not because he ain't revealed it. Well, yes, he's going to work it out. He's going, you just claim it. Well, you know what? Of course you pray for him. Of course you claim it. Brother, sister, don't go around, well, I know this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Because then when it doesn't happen, you look like a fool. Now, look like a fool can be good. Because if you know you're going to be healed, and you say, I am already healed, it's been done, God has revealed it, it's been healed, and you're laying there dying, you look like a fool. But then if you really had that revelation, you're healed. And then who looks like a fool? Who cares who looks like a fool anyways? So I don't know about that, Brother Phil. Well, I tell you what, you pray about it, okay? He said, That's when the church is in its power. I believe it's on the road that when the church will be so wrapped in Christ. Now, this is your prophet saying this is on the road back in 1954. A long time ago. He said, I believe it's on the road where the church will be so wrapped in Christ, the Holy Spirit, mankind so away from themselves, they don't see themselves. We could just stop and preach right there, couldn't we? They don't see themselves. Every time Satan reminds you of your faults, just remember, you don't see yourself. It's done. It's repented of. You repented. It's gone. It's under the blood. It's no longer in existence except in your mind and the enemy's mind. So quit looking at it. They don't see themselves. They don't know, have no thoughts but to serve God, and their thoughts move on. Their thoughts move on. You don't sit there and get bogged down about something. Well, Brother Paul says something bad. I'm going to sit here and have a bad attitude toward Brother Paul. I'm going to let it turn to bitterness. Pretty soon I can't stand to be in the same room with Brother Paul. Why? Because I allowed my thoughts to stop instead of keep moving on. Fall into the trap. Tell you when you really get in trouble, when you get that towards your pastor. Well, I don't like the way this is going on. And next thing you know, 2 months later, you're sitting there, you can't receive anything he's preaching because you're still stuck there 2 months ago when some little something that didn't amount to nothing stopped you. Well, you know what? If you're one of God, you keep coming to church, he's going to root that thing out of there, much to your humiliation. They refuse the things of the world. They just move in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, so fulfill the law of Christ. Then the love of Christ in the human heart, moving in the Holy Ghost, that great, wonderful church will go forth with power and deity. What's deity? It's God. Because deity will be revealed in human beings by the Holy Spirit, bringing to pass the thought of their mind. Deity in you, bringing to pass the thought of your mind. You had the mind of Christ, you think it, and God brings it to pass. That's what your prophet said. Great and precious promises. They without us cannot be made perfect, because this is where the bride comes to. Is it any wonder the things we've gone through? Is it any wonder the things that have been preached here? Is it any wonder some of the trials and testing and heartache we had? Because we are going to get stripped down completely. Stripped down to such a point that the very headship, Christ himself, can come down and sit on you and you can't tell the difference where you stop and he starts, because you're one. The masculine and feminine have been re-put back together in one body. That's who you are. Say, Brother Phil, that really challenged me. I sure don't feel like I'm even anywhere close. That's probably a good place to be. Because that's with your humility, where you are still willing to be shaped and molded. Because when you start thinking, well, I've been through quite a bit. I think I'm kind of there. I'm kind of shaped. I've gone through everything I need to go through. Brother and sister, you got great big old nasty knots hanging off of you when you think that. Those saints who are tormented, scourged, tortured, sawed asunder, lived in caves. They're going to look at you one day and say, God bless you, brother. How did you do that? How did you make it through? And you're going to say, just the same way you did, brother, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. I know it's Thursday and it's a little late. I got to read this one more quote. I'm going to almost promise you it's the last quote, but I'm not going to promise you because I don't know.
know what God has in mind. Look, this was in harvest time, 1964. Look, there must come a true seed. There has got to be, because he's coming for the bride without spot or wrinkle. Now remember, it's the seed, that word, that pure word is what makes you without spot or wrinkle. It's not because you live a perfect life in your flesh. He's coming for it. A word vindicated bride. A word vindicated bride. It's not vindicated by your works. It's not vindicated by your anointing, by how holy you are, by what you know. It's word vindicated, which means the word proves or vindicates who you are. The word in you, deity in flesh. God indwelling you. He said, oh, she'll be such a little bitty group. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, wherein eight souls were saved. Is that right? So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. How many? I don't know. But it's real easy to see why, how it's going to be so little itty bitty group. Because when you look around and see how few people are really willing to sit under a ministry that's going to produce Christ. They sit under a ministry that produces a Cain worship. I'm a message believer. I've had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm ready to go, God. This is what you get. Come and get me. Oh, they don't say that. But their actions prove it. Because when the word comes to shave them down, they say, man, you ain't going to preach to me like that. Oh, they don't say that either. They just find fault with the ministry and leave. The bride's going to be made up of all the way down through the ages that had the word in their ages. It's not just this last group. God's going to take the whole thing out of here. Oh no, it'll be so small, it'll be surprising. They'll come up missing. You won't even know they're gone. What if he took 500 in this last day? You never know it. Took 500 in a few days' time, 2 or 3 days. There's that many people come up missing across the world, don't even know where they're at, never heard anything about them. Do you hear what he said? Missing in a few days' time, 2 or 3 days. So maybe the rapture is not going to be all at one time. Maybe it's going to take 2 or 3 days. Boy, that'll blow some people's theology out of the water. Doesn't it? Does it bother you? Oh, you mean it might be 2 or 3 days? Do you care? If it takes a week or a month, who cares how long it takes? Let's just all be in it. Hear nothing about them. The secret coming of the Lord shall be taken away. And the rest of them go right ahead preaching, just like it was in the days of Noah. Glory to God, we got it. Hallelujah. And sealed to their death. That's what the Bible says, and it can't fail. How can it be that the bride, deity in flesh, could disappear off the earth and people don't know about it? Because they don't recognize Christ and they won't know when he's missing. They don't recognize when they look at you and they don't see Christ, they see some weirdos. They see some strange people believing some strange doctrine in a little church in Dixon. Message believers feel the same way. Well, you're off on this weird tangent. You got so many problems in that church, God couldn't be in the midst of that. And you disappear and someone else disappears and they're gone and they're going right on preaching. Thinking everything's fine. Because since they don't know him, they wouldn't recognize when he left. Oh, they still have their anointings. They might still have their miracles, their preaching. Sealed to their death. Why? Because one day they rejected Christ. Deity in flesh. Oh. Gone. And we'll come up missing. How close is it, Brother Phil? How much closer do we have to get? I have no idea, and I don't think anyone else does either, except for God himself. Let's just keep pressing on, folks. Keep pressing on. One day. One day. You believe it's close? If you don't, go and walk the streets a little bit. Find out how close. You know, they just had another earthquake. The New Madrid Fault, right down there running through Memphis, had an earthquake recently. Overseas, there have been several major earthquakes recently. They're talking, I read this article, they're talking about how that New Madrid Fault is due for a major earthquake. And it's actually bigger, the fault is actually bigger than the San Andreas Fault. So if you can imagine that San Andreas Fault going, happening, and it's going to trigger the New Madrid or vice versa, we're going to have earthquakes around here too, folks. Don't think you were just safe because we don't live in California. And nobody's safe. Except for the bride. Because nothing can harm you, not even death. Isn't that neat? And that all is neat. What a word to use there. Isn't that amazing? Nothing can harm you. Let's stand. I'm trying to get you home. These things that, the quotes, brother, that we read, Brother Branham said, some of them are so, oh, they just seem so beyond reach. Just something that, like, only prophets can get to that point. Only these great men of God can get to that point. Doesn't it seem that way? It does to me. To have that oneness with Christ, that unity where you really, you know, you think they're just mystics. They're just, how do you get to that point? How do you get that place where you are so one with God that you only do what he wants you to do? You only say what he wants you to say. It seems beyond the reach of our flesh, of this body. You had to be like Brother Branham to get there. Let me challenge you one more time. I believe you are so close to that right now. You just don't recognize it. I believe that. And if I'm wrong there, that's all right too, because you're going to get there anyway. So whether 100 miles away or 5 feet away, it's still going to happen. Why would you believe less? Man, this is why you were born. This is why you are on this earth. This is what your purpose is to fulfill. So look at everything you do in your life, and you have to do it. You have to work. You have to live. You have to play. You have to do all the things. But the purpose you are here for in this life is to fulfill those promises that I just read to you. You might as well go ahead and put yourself in there and just start claiming it. It's for you. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you would come and speak to us tonight. And Father, how you just encourage us to show us who we are in your word. Knowing that we are fulfilling, we are walking into this place, Lord Jesus, and you are leading us and guiding us. And Father, it's not just a thought, it's not just a theory that I have, but I see this actually happening. With eyes, spiritual eyes and with natural eyes, I see this little bride, this part of the bride here, fulfilling this word, coming closer and closer to you. And the fellowship I have with my brothers and sisters, I see it happening. I see the word actually taking shape. I see deity in flesh. And sometimes because of our flesh, sometimes, Lord, we don't recognize it. We wonder what's going on. We get so discouraged and we think, oh, are we ever going to overcome this old flesh? And yet, Lord Jesus, beyond all that, Lord, I see a reality happening. I see this word that you've given us. I see it taking shape. I see it standing. I see it walking in human beings. Lord Jesus, this isn't my imagination. This is what's actually happening. And then, Lord, when I turn to the word and I see this is what's promised, then I know that, oh, it's time to look up because redemption draws nigh. It's time for us to go, Lord. So I just pray, keep us all pressing on, Lord. Keep us all pressing on. No matter what comes against us, Lord, just help us, Lord, to press the battle, to only believe. We ask this, Lord Jesus, believing. I pray for Brother Jerry that just to strengthen him. I pray for each one here, the ones who aren't here, the ones who are feeling physically ill and pain, and our bodies are breaking down. And Lord Jesus, whatever it is, the spiritual battles, whatever it is, Lord, just help us, Lord. Keep pressing on, Lord. Because in just a short while, Lord, it's going to be over. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to just go ahead and dismiss you and go home. Let's sing that little chorus. Can't you see?